starting things off, a chance to talk with a musician, therapist, and now author here in our studios, Robin Geiser. Her new book is titled Musical Morphine, Transforming Pain, One Note at a Time. Robin has a book launch party on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, 5 o'clock at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Asheville. But she's with us in the studios this afternoon. Robin, welcome. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's good Thanks to have so you. Much, Dick. It's good to be here.
And congratulations on the book.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a labor of love, shall we say.
Well, okay. I think I need to ask you, before I ask you about why you wrote the book, I'd like to ask you about how you got to where you are as a music practitioner, certified music practitioner. Have you always loved music? Have you been are you always played music or sung or?
Absolutely, always. Okay. I was born into a musical family on both sides, and my mother was a professional musician. She was paper trained, shall we call her, because she was, she played the classics and kind of had an idea, which you'll read in the book, about what was real music and what wasn't. Finally, I think she came to recognize me. I had classical training as well, 9 years of violin.
Oh.
I have sung all my life, but I found like a harmonica in a music drawer when I was 9 and said, "Ooh, what's this? Can I have it?" My mother said, "Well, it's from my music school days, but I never played it." And she said, "You may borrow it." Well, I blew the reeds all out, but it's still on my music shelf at home. And along came Peter, Paul, and Mary, and the guitar was calling my name. And I played in a group. I went to William and Mary, played in a group called the Down County Four, and we played all over Williamsburg and a little bit in Georgetown at the cellar door.
The cellar door, that's big time.
Oh, wasn't it, though?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And then along came other instruments. I have just been lucky to be one of those kind of people who can pick up something and end up playing it.
So now it's a long way from the cellar door to, as you say in the book, transforming pain one note at a time. Where did the idea of using music to transform come about?
Well, I think I've seen it all along. Moving from performer to service, which is what I've done with the music, when one is a good performer, I think, making eye contact, seeing how music transforms an audience, so to speak, is really the roots of what I do now.
Yeah.
And now I do it one-on-one, bedside or chairside, in hospices, hospitals, nursing homes, rehabs, and recently I just completed some work in a private home.
Wow.
With a hospice patient.
So okay. Now, how does this work? You know, you're a musician, and now you're a writer. You work with people that need your help. How does this? Do you get a call from someone saying, "This person, we think this person could use your help." How does that work? And what do you know going into a situation like that?
Interesting. I was working when we lived elsewhere, actually up in the Adirondacks. I was working at hospice and also a large hospital extended care facility with 88 beds.
Wow.
And that was really a challenge because I met with every kind of patient I could imagine. And so I prefer that, although I do love the hospice work. But now as we've moved to Asheville and I've, shall we say, aged and have been working on the book, and I'm very passionate about getting the information in the book out there. I have been volunteering and going where there is a need. I have the list from the deacons at my church at Grace Covenant Presbyterian. And when I can, I get out into their homes of people who are shut in or recovering from surgery. Or I will just get a call out of the blue. The word gets out.
Wow. That's amazing. We're speaking with Robin Geiser, whose new book, Musical Morphine, Transforming Pain, One Note at a Time, will be released, or I guess is being released. There's a book launch party Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Asheville. You've brought your guitar with you.
I have.
And I guess I definitely want you to play your guitar. But first, I want to ask you if why the guitar? I mean, obviously, you've played it before. I mean, you said as a child you learned to play the guitar.
Right.
Do you find that the guitar is one of those things that works well with a given patient, or?
It does. And this specific guitar, this is a classical guitar that I acquired with lots of babysitting money when I was 18.
Really?
And it stayed with me. It's a sweet little Goya, handmade Swedish. And you'll read about it in the book. It is not a large steel string guitar, although I do have a nice Taylor with a flat pick, which I do use in certain rooms. Yeah. But this guitar is very mellow, and I feel like it is the alto line of my voice.
Wow. We
have this little guitar, and I have been together through all kinds of things, including, and I wanted to go back to the other question, at William & Mary, I volunteered at the state mental hospital.
Wow.
And there I was, an 18-year-old, walking out to this crazy eastern state place, stuck in a room, kind of darkened, and you'll read about this as well, with men and women with really scary looks or blank stares or not looking at all. And that was one of the very first times, even back then, where I saw music absolutely change that. You know, up came heads. Occasionally there would be singing, and my own fears as well as theirs vanished in that atmosphere.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Well, could you give us a little sample?
Well, I could. I'd like to take us into it with a little reading from the book. I'll bring us up to date. I'm a brand new intern at hospice. I'm about to face my first patient. I'm directed to him. And he is in the great room of this hospice, Mountain Valley Hospice, up in upstate New York. His name is Bob. So here I'll read from the book, and then I'll tell you what I did with him.
Okay.
I stopped at the door leading into the great room, squared my shoulders, took a deep breath, and stood there. My classes had taught me to park my ego at the door and enter only after reviewing a series of steps calling forth my desire to be of service, the need to become centered, to have no expectations, and to maintain an open mind. I took more breaths as I rehearsed these ideas. Then I asked for guidance. Going into the room of a dying patient suddenly felt like going into the room of a cold call with a newspaper salesperson. Suddenly, I felt awkward, uncomfortable. How would I be received? I opened the door and walked in. A man was seated alone on a long floral print sofa facing the blazing fireplace. His crisp blue button-down shirt under a maroon cardigan sweater, his brown corduroy slacks, and his horn-rimmed glasses led me to think he was an employee. Then I looked how pale and thin he was, how his eyes looked tired and lifeless. I spoke. Hi, Bob. I'm Robin, the new therapeutic music intern here at the house. He didn't say a word. I'm wondering if you'd like some soothing music this afternoon. This is not a concert, and if you've had enough, I'll stop any time. The music is designed to help you rest, relax, feel better. I could see him eyeing the guitar and scrutinizing me from head to toe. He had a scowl on his face. I imagined him thinking, oh boy, here we go with Kumbaya. And I waited for a flat, no thank you. Instead, he said, I like classical music, very emphatically. I can do that, I said. Will you give me a try? And if it isn't what you want, I'll gladly leave. No questions asked, no hurt feelings. Okay, he said, but I felt his hesitation, saw him look down and cross his arms over his chest. I sat near him and began a classical style accompaniment on my guitar, and then added my low-pitched alto voice, humming the Largo movement from Dvorak's New World Symphony. When the last note ended, he motioned for me to continue, so I moved on to Sibelius's Finlandia, then the Ode to Joy from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. He unfolded his arms and put his head back to rest on the sofa, and a pleasant expression came over his face. I closed out our session with Jesu Joyvman's Desiring, continuing to merely hum the melodies with my guitar playing. When I finished, he smiled and sighed. "Have you had enough?" I said. "Maybe for today, but you can come back," he said, raising his head and looking at me. "I'm glad you liked it." "I did," he said.
It's Robin Geiser's book, Musical Morphine, Transforming Pain One Note at a Time, just been released. And the launch party is this Sunday evening at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Asheville. Thank you for reading that. It's really quite wonderful. And it points out one of the things that I got from the book is that the book is a lot about all the many people that you have met and the different characters that must all be a part of you by this time.
They absolutely are, and I love reliving them all the time. Interestingly, my publisher at Pisgah Press was doing the last edit of the book, and it was going to be a glance through, and he tickled me. He called me up, and he said, "I was up till almost 2 o'clock in the morning," he said. He said, "I began perusing the book," and he said, "I found myself rereading the whole thing again."
An occupational hazard, I suppose, of being an interested publisher. So the book is, you mentioned it before we went on the air, it's all been locally produced. You have, your editor is local. You did an audio recording of it locally at Echo Mountain. The whole thing has been done right here in town.
It really has. I began with classes. Well, I started classes. I continued classes with Tommy Hayes, Brian Lee Knopp, Tina Barr, Christine Hale at the Great Smokies Writing Program, wrote the book in Tommy's class. And then he directed me to Julie Abbott, the editor of the Great Smokies Review, for my first edit. And then, lo and behold, Andy Reid of Pisgah Press became interested at a book fair I went to at the Haywood Hotel and said, "Send me 3 chapters." And meanwhile, I met with Ben Matcher and his group at Talking Book, and they stood up straight and said, "Wow, this is an audiobook we want to produce."
You bet.
And so I was chosen as the reader. And that was a fabulous experience down at Echo Mountain.
So you're going to, now that you're a writer and a recording artist, you're going to continue to work with these people?
Absolutely. A patient, a slant friend, just passed away a few weeks ago, and I was doing music for him. And then, interestingly, an outgrowth oftentimes of doing this music, although the book is not all about end of life. Is that I am asked to play for funerals and memorial services. And in this case, I played this man's Bode Psaltery, playing a Ashokan Farewell, one of his favorite songs.
Wow.
So it's quite a moving experience for everybody.
It sounds like you've got a life full of moving experiences.
I think
that's quite wonderful. Congratulations. Again, Robin Geiser, the book is Musical Morphine, Transforming Pain One Note at a Time. The book launch party is this Sunday at Unitarian Universalist Congregation.
Yes.
And you'll be reading and playing some music, singing some music?
I will. And kind of acknowledging, not kind of, definitely acknowledging so many people in my life who have contributed to making this thing be a reality.
Well, congratulations. And I need to ask you where the book is available, or the audiobook.
Yes, thank you, Dick. There's a direct link on my own website to getting all of the iterations of the book, the print, the audio CD, which is in MP3 format, and the download for the digital. So that would be www.robingeiser, which is spelled RobinGais, as in Sam, .com. And also I am now on Amazon as well.
Wow. It's great. It's a long way from playing the harmonica off your mom's dresser.
It is, or sitting on my mother's lap learning little children's songs at 7 months old.
Well, congratulations on all of these things. And thanks very much for spending some time with us here at WCQS.
You're very welcome, Dick.
Once again, Robin Geiser's book, Musical Morphine, Transforming Pain, One Note at a Time. You can always call us here at the radio station for more information. Our number is, what is our number? Oh, 210-4800.